Welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it's your boy T-Til. We have a very, very special guest that we are about to speak to and introduce. Her name is Miss Yolanda Johnson. She is a licensed marriage family therapist intern and a certified life coach. She has been providing services in families, couples, individual and child therapy for many years. You know, she has worked in various different settings like inpatient, outpatient, locked facilities, and private practices. You know, she currently is a mental health professional with the Clark County School District. Okay. And also, she also has her private practice called Breaking the Cycle Health and Wellness. And without further ado, we have Miss Yolanda Johnson, and she's going to tell us about why she has chose to be on this path of mental health and being a mental health professional and why she chose that career. Check it.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Yolanda Johnson, and I basically been working in this field for a while. It started, like, I worked in the Women's Shade Tree Shelter, and that's where the passion started, seeing women that came in battered and not having any reference to what they want to do with life, because everything was surrounded by someone else, and not having that that self-esteem, not having that motivation. I've witnessed women that would get severely battered, and we talk about setting up a plan, moving on, and mentally they couldn't, so they would end up going back to the abuser. And that, you know, struck a chord with me, and I was like, is it a lot of people out here that this is where they're at in life? And come to find out, yes it was. So I, you know, went on a crusade to get my education, to work in fields, volunteering, getting to know what our community needs and what's out there. And that's what basically have been my goal, and just really learning how to understand what the need of our community is. And like I said, I'm in this field right now. I'm with the Clark County School District. I'm a mental health professional. I was the first MFT, marriage and family therapist, hired at the Clark County School District. And it was kind of like an experiment to see if different fields could come in and work with the Clark County School District children. So it has worked out. It really is just a handful of MFTs. We have, you know, your licensed social workers, your school counselors. It's like a village that Clark County School District is trying to create to tackle mental health. And this was even before, I know it kind of expanded with COVID, but this was even before COVID was there that this idea came to play, because I was hired right before COVID as full time. And when, you know, I look at where we're going, it is good, because, you know, we haven't really tackled mental health as far as, you know, we still have a lot of, stigmas that come with mental health, and understanding that it is serious. It is affecting each and every one of us. We do, you know, even if we think that we're okay, that sometimes, you know, you have to sit back, and I always tell my clients, you know, you have to sit in a room by yourself and understand where you're at in life, and is this your purpose, and is this where you want to be mentally, emotionally, physically, financially. I go on like a 7 pillars of life, and that's like a checklist that I do with my clients. And it's been a great journey. It is fulfilling. I love helping people. As you can see, I'm talking. I tell everybody I love to talk. So that's, you know, I really love the work that I do.
And if you love to talk, then you're on the right podcast. I'm going to tell you this right now, because I love to talk too.
Okay.
So when it comes to your private practice, Breaking the Cycle Health and Wellness, talk to me a little bit about that and why you started that.
The reason I started that is because as a marriage family therapist, we we build everything on relationships. And when I started, you know, I'm an intern, I'm gonna have to take a test. Once I pass the test, we drop the intern. But when I got into it, and I thank my supervisor because he let me go forward to start this project, and I seen what we call so many cycles of dysfunction. And that's why that we're called breaking the cycle, is because when we sit down with our clients and we talk and we see these cycles of dysfunction, cycles that are passed down from generation to generation. And that's what we get into talking about. Let's try to break that cycle. Let's try to break that cycle. Okay, your great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Then it skipped and now you're going into alcoholism. But what can we do to break that cycle? Negative thoughts about, you know, getting therapy. You know, I have a lot of clients that come in that are first time generational clients that come in for therapy because it was told, you know, and especially sometimes in our African American community, what stays in the house stays in the house. And then in some communities, if you go see a therapist, you're crazy. And so now we're breaking cycles of understanding what mental health is, how mental health can be, you know, a plus in your life, how you can, because a lot of times we can sit up, we can talk to our girlfriends, we can talk to our friends, we can talk to our family. And I always tell the client that that's going to be a bias opinion or a view, because they love you, they don't want to hurt you. You might have some friends that tell you the truth, but mm-hmm. sometimes when you hear from a third person, you know, I have clients that come in and they say, Miss Johnson, was you sitting in that conversation with us? Because I show them the play and go A to B to C, and then they're like, oh, okay, you know, now I understand. And people know that, you know, sometimes, you know, as parents, like, we can tell our kids this, that, and then a third person comes in and say the same thing, and it's a whole different.
You know, you hit on so many things that I talk about, and especially when it comes to stigmas. You know, I always say what happens in this house does not stay in the house. You know, the one thing is, the point of, you know, having a family and things is the kids go off and do what? They get mm-hmm. their own house. Right. Exactly. And if you got two, three kids, now you got three different houses. Right. Mm-hmm. So the trauma that you've built up in that first original home gets sprouted out into three more homes. Right. And they take mm-hmm. that trauma with them. And now, instead of getting healed in that house, in that one house, in that family house, they take mm-hmm. the trauma and they go off and they spread it. And now we're in three different houses. Now they're spreading the trauma in three different houses to their kids. And mm-hmm. then they do the same thing. Oh, well, what happens in this house stays in this house. Then that trauma gets taken from those three houses, and then they get sprout out. If they have two kids each, now you got six, you got more, right? Right. So I think, so when you think about these things, right, and how this can happen, you started mm-hmm. off with one house. Mm-hmm. You had three kids. Mm-hmm. Now those three kids have three different houses. Okay, great. And then now if those three kids in those three separate houses have, let's just say, two kids each, now those six kids have six different houses. Mm-hmm. And they're spreading the trauma, right? The stuff mm-hmm. doesn't, the trauma never stays in the house. Mm-hmm. Family secrets mm-hmm. have been the most traumatic things, especially in the Black community.
Exactly.
Sexual abuse, things mm-hmm. going on, and everything is hush, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you add a religious component and the Christianity and things like that to it, it's a double whammy, right? Yeah. Because you're really not supposed to be talking about your things to anybody but God or a preacher or a pastor, whatever the case is, right? It's yeah. And so these are things and stigmas that I'm glad that you're part of breaking those chains, breaking those cycles, and spreading a light on these things, because it needs to be shown. We're in an era to where we need mental health professionals mm-hmm. like yourself more than ever before. Our kids need it, right? And the one thing I want to touch on is, you are a mental health professional in the schools, Clark County School District. And mm-hmm. this is a big discussion, yeah. and especially in the Black households, mm-hmm. where, and this is not your, so I just want to be clear, this is not what you do, but there are mental health professionals or counselors that diagnose early. especially Black children, things like that, right? And put them on medication early. A lot of Black parents are like, no, I do not want my kids to be diagnosed early for something that's not really there. And putting them on medication and things like that. Again, that's not what you do. That's not what your thing that you do in the schools. So, but these are the concerns, right? For a lot of Black and Brown parents, you know, that send their kids to school, and they're afraid to send their kids to the counselors and this and that, because I don't want to have my kid diagnosed. Like back in the day, like me, I talk too much. That was my thing. I mean, your son talks too much in class. I was a very social kid. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm very extroverted. I like to talk and socialize, right? But there wasn't a thing of, okay, so we're going to now, you know, diagnose your kid as this or that, right? Because they talk too much, right? So I think when it comes to mental health professionals like yourself, who is responsible, I think, you know, we need them like never before to make sure that we're not overdiagnosing, right, your kids early, too early, and put them on these strong medications. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is this is what this is a great question, and this is what families don't understand. So as a MFT, we are built on relationships, and we love when the whole family comes in, because we have a training and a study process that the whole is greater than the part. And what that means is that if little Timmy is having trouble acting out, doing all these things, our profession, we want the whole family to come in. And now it is hard to get the whole family to come in so they can understand, okay, this is where we're at with little Timmy. He has behavior issues. Little Timmy may come in and tell me the reason why, tell me everything about his family, but the family doesn't come in as a whole. And I educate my clients about making those steps to come in as, you know, if you're having issues with your marriage, and you don't think that little Timmy is watching, and now he goes to school and he acts out, and he only knows that the only time I'm going to get my parents to come in is when I act out and when the teachers are calling, and I'm getting that attention, but it's not what I need to get. Now, guess what? Oh, now little Timmy probably has ADHD because he can't concentrate. He's doing this and he's doing that. And now the parent is looking at that, and then they go in and they talk to their caregiver and they give all the symptoms of ADHD instead of saying, maybe Timmy's acting out because our family is in a dysfunction right now. So it's imperative that families start when they look at mental health, not just little Timmy, let's look at the whole family dynamics. And like we were talking about, when you would talk about this family and then the dysfunction goes to this family, we call that transgenerational. And what that means is you have set a bunch of family rules that now is going from generation to generation to generation, because this is the family rule, you know. So now, you know, when we look at that, the families do have to come together. I literally beg my families, like, if you guys are going to get involved and understand what's going on with your child, everybody needs to be involved. You know, some of my kids come back and say, you know, my mom or my dad treats my younger sister better. And that's a family dynamic. So when we do that, you know, don't be so quick to say it's just Timmy. Let's look at the family as a whole. And a lot of families are scared to do that because we're not coming in here. We're not talking about you're a bad parent, but let's try to be a better family. And if I've seen the worst of divorces, and you don't think that affects a child mentally, emotionally, and physically? It does. And now all of a sudden he or she has this mental health and needs to be diagnosed with medications and these things. So I always look at it as far as when we look at that and we want to get away from that, let's look at the family as a whole first and see what's going Now if there is, and then also taking the time to go to a pediatrician, understand that a pediatrician, if you go in and you tell a pediatrician all about these symptoms of ADHD, that's going to be the treatment plan, part of the treatment plan with your primary care doctor or your pediatrician. And I always tell families, educate yourself about the layers of treatment. You know, you have a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist can do the same things as I do, but they also can prescribe medication, and they are the experts in letting you know how these medications affect. I am an expert in what we call talk therapy. So I will be doing the background work for a psych. This is my world of mental health. I will be doing the background of talking to the client, treatment plans, goals, and things based off of a diagnosis. A diagnosis is set in play because of symptoms. And that, you know, because your kid has been diagnosed with ADHD, that doesn't mean that's the kid. That just means these are the symptoms that he or she carries. So when we talk about diagnosing, and diagnosing really is a main part of your insurance, because your insurance has to know, what are we paying for you to talk to this child? What are we paying for your child to have medication? So that is, you know, and that's a stigma too, is these diagnoses. And it doesn't, you know, you don't go through your life saying, oh, the reason why I didn't do this is because I had ADHD. The reason why I can't move on is because I have bipolar or these things. So those are, you know, it's a big stigma when we have to understand what the layers of mental health is. And if we start with the family and we start looking at everything as a whole, maybe we will have less diagnosis, and we'll have people coming in as families and understanding that, okay, this is just not a Timmy thing, this is a Johnson thing, and we need to change the rules. So now when Timmy goes out and he gets in his family of creation, he won't take the bad from the creation, the family that he was born into. So that's when you break the cycles and you change the dysfunction down the line.
Wow. You said a lot there. because saying that it's not a Timmy problem, but it could be a Johnson problem. And that is a big thing, because it's family. And the thing about family to me is, families aren't there. A lot of families, I won't say all, obviously, and that they're afraid to have tough conversations. And having these tough conversations, and we could just start from relationships, but let's just start with the husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever it is, right? They need to be having tough conversations with each other, right? Exactly. And I think a lot of times in families, we avoid tough conversations, right? Especially when it comes to two sides of families, right? Because it's two joining the one. So then you got a mother-in-law over here, father-in-law over here, father-in-law, mother-in-law over there, right? Brothers on each side, sisters on each side, whatever the case is, right? And nobody wants to have a tough conversation about problems that are going on in the family. Because one, if one person brings it up on this side, then the other side is, might lash out, might stop talking. There's kids involved. Nobody wants to, like, okay, no, but I want to be able to see my grandkids, or I want to be able to see my nieces and nephews, or I want to be able to see. And if we say something, then it can irritate one side of the family. And then next thing you know, we have a family war, right? And what that's telling me is people are not ready to have tough, mature conversations, right? That's not necessarily pleasant, but could be the most impactful to their families. Because not everybody does everything right. Right? And it could be upsetting to hear that y'all aren't doing things over there the right way. Yeah. Or putting things on the table. I'm upset because in 1989, you did this. And I haven't let it go. And it's 2023.
Exactly.
Right? You've been holding on to this thing for 30-something years. Right? And it's caused wedges in families. Right? It's caused cousins to not talk to each other because the two siblings, right? The siblings and the parent, the siblings over here had kids. And then now the two siblings that had problems now had kids and now you keep kids away, right? Like these are real life things that happen, right? But to me, it starts with having a tough conversation to say, we might need family therapy, mm-hmm. right? Like we might need these services. It's nothing that I can just pray away, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't just pray away a tough conversation, mm-hmm. right? Like these are things that we've been taught though. It's one thing we've been taught in Black households is to pray and drink ginger ale and everything is going to be okay, right? And everything is going to be great after this, right? But the tough conversations, the hidden things, the secrets, right? I don't want to ruffle any feathers. These are the things that destroy families though.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is, this is where it has to start. It has to start with families understanding the structure. And what I mean by that is like, okay, so say you have mom and dad, they are up here, and then there's a marriage. There's two people that come together, or, you know, same sex or however it is, it's a structure. And when we start including, when we're on that level and they're up here, and we may start bringing in mother-in-law and kids up here with the first foundation of the family, then it becomes problems. I remember talking to one of my clients, and I drew a line, and I had the marriage up here, and I said, "Where are your kids at?" And they put that their kids was equal to the marriage. And that becomes a problem because, you know, and my pet peeve is, and people probably be, if they own your podcast, they probably not, don't like this, is when a mother says that her best friend is her daughter. Mm-hmm. And now, then you have problems because now you, when you want to parent your child, you can't parent your child as a best friend. You have to parent your child as a mother. And when we look at that, we have delusioned and taken those roles from that parental functioning. So when you are a best friend and you're a parent, that is a conflict of really a conflict of interest. Mm. And when you and then the child is confused. So now you've created another cycle of dysfunction because now we don't know what the roles are of the family. And now you can't tell, you know, mom-in-law that she can't, you know, intervene in your marriage because you've already invited her in that structure. So when the two partners get together and they have a solid foundation of what their roles is in this family, then it leaks on because now you can't come and tell me five things about my husband that I don't already know. And so that's where the confusion comes in. And so when you have that structure and you start with that structure, because what we do in therapy is we do a family map. We draw a whole structure and people look at it and they be like, "Oh my God, I didn't know my kids was up there with me and they're the parent and I'm the possibly the child and my mom is my husband's wife." It becomes really dysfunctional, and then, then they want to kind of take that map and remap it and say, okay, the structure begins with myself and my partner, and the kids are here and our relatives are here, and now we have to learn how to communicate that. And so now you get away from family secrets, and your child is able to come to tell you, you know, as a child, that, you know what, mom, I don't like how Uncle John talks to me, and we need to have that conversation with him. Now it's not so hard to have those conversations. You know, now you can have that conversation about your child's sexuality and say, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" Da, da, da. And it becomes better because you're structured.
Mm-hmm. And then there becomes safe spaces.
Exactly.
Which is so important for both children and adults. You know, I think when it comes to the family dynamic and the family structure, I mean, look, we all know there's a lot of broken families and things like that. I think I can only speak from the way I grew up was, listen, I had a close relationship with my mother and father. They were married 43 years, mm-hmm. right? I had a close relationship with my mom. Me and my dad were close as well, right? But there was one thing that was crystal clear, mm-hmm. and that was, they not my best friends. Mm-hmm. We're not going to the club together. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Like, you know, we're close. Mm-hmm. Right. I honor them. I revere them. We do things together as family, concerts, you know, family stuff. We do stuff like that. Right. But yes. it was clear. Mom, dad.
Yes, mom and dad.
Right. And I can't get in between them. I can't mm-hmm. go to one and say, hey, can I do this? One says no. Then I go mm-hmm. to, well, hey, listen, like, let me get this. I knew it was never going to happen. Okay. And if I tried it, you know, kids try.
Okay.
I find out what happens. Right. And it was a house that was, it wasn't divided. Right. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, this is what it is. Were they perfect? Of course not. No parent is perfect. I don't care how much you try. Exactly. Right. But the structure was there. And what I learned was how to apologize early, like as a kid, and not because, you know, do as I say, not as I do. My mom would apologize to me if she mm-hmm. felt like she was wrong.
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, if my mom can apologize, I mean, who am I? First of all, right? I'm the kid. Mm-hmm. So like, I definitely have to apologize. But seeing those things also taught me as an adult. Right. You know, seeing my dad apologize. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, so in relationships, all that ego stuff out the window. If you're wrong, you're mm-hmm. wrong. It's simple for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think when you are taught these things at an early age, and then, and like you said, this dynamic structure, this family structure is there and it's solid. It sets certain foundations for you. Are you mm-hmm. going to still make mistakes? Yes. We're all human. Right. But there are just certain things. Right. Mm-hmm. like you said, that can absolutely create waves of safe spaces for you. Right. Now, in turn, for me, I've been creating safe spaces for my friends for years because that's what I grew up in. I mm-hmm. grew up in safe spaces and creating those things and being able to talk to my mom about things and dad about certain things and just being able to just navigate certain waters and certain feelings that I've had, emotions and things like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that whole dynamic in that tree that you did, like that whole thing of, okay, who's here? Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thing that I think a lot of families should be able, that should do and shouldn't incorporate in that. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know from you is how can people get in touch with you to book you? Because I think people need to know this tree, and then people need to get in touch with Miss Yolanda.
so my office is located at 3465 West Craig Road, Suite D. And if you right now, the clients that I am taking is cash pay because I'm not doing insurances at this time. That's something that we're going to be looking for in the near future, near as soon. And if you wanted to book me, if you write down, because I trust me, I'm so behind in times. So I'm old school. I'll call and do the appointment. And you call me, I talk to you for, you know, you get a good 15, 20 minutes of good, you know, intake and how you feel about me. My phone number for the office is 702-850-7356. I'm in my office Monday through Wednesday now, and I start seeing clients from 4 to 7. So I get the ones that come in late night. That's going to eventually change, but right now I don't have my platforms, and my daughter, she is like, you need to get on platforms. And so I'm understanding this. I'm really old school. I like, you know, in person. I do, you know, offer telehealth, but I love the in person connection because it makes it so great. Not saying nothing about the podcast, what we're doing now, but mm-hmm. it makes it so great because of the field that I am in. T is relationship, and basically mm-hmm. having that intimate conversation with a person to understand what's going on with them, and I like that. So yeah, as you know, like I said, call me 702-850-7356. you know, I call back within doing, and that's one of the things that I hear is like, oh, people don't call back or whatnot. And it you know, it's, you know, you just have to be patient with this field, because we are, it gets a little, you know, overwhelming, and we are, you know, doing our best we can to keep up with the demand, because, you know, since COVID hit, everyone has realized that they sat in their house by themselves, and now they have to understand that, you know, when the world had shut down, as I call it, they had to deal with a lot of things, and now it's like, okay, where do I go next? And now you are understanding, yeah, I need to, you know, sort out these things. When you're sitting in the house with your spouse and you really don't know them, and now COVID forced you to understand, now it's like, okay, we need to talk to someone.
And that's so true. Especially with COVID and lots of, breakups and divorces happened during that time, right? But on the speaking of families and you're on the marital side, kind of want to go there a little bit. Everybody talks about the divorce rate. That's been a big topic for years. And I know you're not on the platforms, right? So let me tell you what the big discussion is on these platforms out here in these social media streets. So one of the biggest debates that's causing, I mean, controversy, arguments online, it's crazy. Something called the table. And what does this person bring to the table? What does a man bring to the table? What does the woman bring to the table? That's a big thing. Another big thing is the 50-50 debate. Should people and women go 50-50 with a man if whatever the cases are? These are such a taboo. These such are just things for me that's just ridiculous. But these are the things that people are fighting about on these social media platforms. You might, as a counselor, a therapist, you might go crazy too looking at this stuff, because you realize it's so ridiculous, right? Right, they talk about how a high value man and a high value woman, what are those, and a lot of different things, right? And I'm going to ask you some questions about your opinions on certain things about relationships, but I'll just give you a little bit of my just I get very tired of these conversations, I think, a lot. I think because they don't really have any real context to life, right? Because when you realize what life really is, sometimes these conversations about 50-50 and this and that and who pays, like sometimes like you have to understand, right? And we have a thing now, traditional versus modern, and that fight, right? And this is just my opinion, and you can give me your honest opinion about what I'm about to say. But in my humble opinion, people are talking about things that don't matter. And I say it, and the reason why I say it is like this. When you look at the economy is 1.2, I think last time I checked, it was $1.2 trillion in consumer debt. Consumer, not housing, consumer, credit cards, right? Online now on these platforms. You see the highlights of what people do. So you see the vacations, you see the pictures, and everybody's balling. Everybody has money, right? Everybody has it all together, right? Yeah, we're in $1.2 trillion in debt. And last year, hundreds of thousands of jobs were lost due to layoffs, companies laying off left and right. We're in a recession. People don't want to say that, but we are in a recession, right? Inflation. And yet, what we can argue about is, people being broke. Oh, well, the man is broke, the woman is broke, or he don't bring this to the table, she don't bring that to the table. And I'm saying, I hear you guys, but we're not being honest about what's really going on out here in the world. People are losing their jobs, people losing their livelihood, people are putting things on credit cards, like people with outrageous interest rates. We don't really give each other grace. And we're not honest about who we are and what's really going on in our own lives. mental health wise, financially, we're just fighting over nonsense. Especially when it comes to dating and what people should be doing and who should be doing what. I come from a household to where you do what it takes to make the household run. If it's a man having to, I mean, of course, having to, you know, look, my dad was a breadwinner for a lot of the years in the marriage that I was alive, right? And you know what he did? Laundry. You know what he did? Dishes. He's breadwinner now, right? They would need to do. There was no like, oh, well, I'm the breadwinner. That's your job. Honey, you do it. I done came from working and this and that. You do it. How it worked for me. And maybe that's the reason why I feel that way. But my mom was the same way. Hey, listen, if she was the breadwinner, you know, whatever that was, it didn't matter. Like, she did the things that needed to be done. They both just did the things they needed to be done to make the marriage work. Right? And I don't know. For me, I think that's where I am. It's you do what you need to do to make the relationship and the marriage work. You communicate your needs and you communicate the things that you need to be done. Now, how can we get these things done together? Right? That's just my opinion. Because a lot of people are lying. We're not honest. Right? And it's causing mental health issues. You got men stressing out. Men are breadwinners. Okay. And now they just lost their job last year. You're talking about that? Well, a man shouldn't live with you, or a man, if a man's not paying bills, then that's more like your kid than anything else. What if that man was a breadwinner? He lost his job. You know how long it's taking now, the average for somebody to get a job now? At 12 to 18 months. What do you think mentally that's doing to that man? Right? What are we arguing about? Like, it's just, it's frustrating to me a little bit, because to me, I understand how the internet works. I understand how people work, and people just look to argue about a lot of different things in life. And I understand, especially when it comes to relationships, and that's a hot topic, but I just think they overcomplicate a process that's really not that complicated to me. But nevertheless, that's my rant. And, but I'll leave it. I'll ask you this. So what do you think about this topic, based on, you know, you are therapy, you know, you do a lot of mental health services in marriage and things like that. So what are your thoughts on the reasons why the marriage rate is what it is and why people are arguing so much about things?
Because when I told you about that structure, and when we don't, when a man and a woman or partners don't sit down and have that structure and have those conversations, like what their roles are, and then have the conversation about, okay, if my spouse lost their job, have that conversation about, okay, you know, I'm going to be home with the kids and you work, or have that conversation about what our roles are in this relationship. Because when you look at the relationship, when we as therapists look at a man and woman coming in for therapy, our client is not the man and the woman. Our client is the marriage. So we say what is making this marriage work? Do we have infidelity? Do we have what do we have lies? Do we have non-communication? Is that good for the relationship? No, then we have to work on that. And now society has watered down. You know, I had this discussion, and this is one thing, and I may get some backlash from you people if they say I really don't care, because this is where problems start. Yeah, we watered down how relationships are, and then and the topic was like, cheating is this, and they put, you know, conditions on cheating. And people have to understand, if you sit down and you are married and you have a dinner or a cup of coffee or anything with a woman that is not your wife, that could be considered cheating. And people don't understand that. So when we change the rules of marriage, it becomes difficult and it becomes complicated, because now we don't even know what a structured marriage look like, you know. And I say this because this is a real talk. And, you know, I'm not saying that people that go out and have dinner, they're automatic cheaters. But if we're going to be real with ourselves, that has sparked a a lot of, you know, conversations that you shouldn't be having. Like if you're having an intimate dinner with someone, and even if your spouse knows this is going on, but you don't, you bring up conversations that you shouldn't be bringing up, then that becomes a cheat, and that becomes something that you shouldn't be doing. So when we look at the levels of how people view what relationships are, it changes day to day to fit what is going on in the world today. So you know, you can it's okay to do all these things, but you know, and I'm not, you know, condoling or browbeating anyone about it, but when you ask the true meaning and how it started with marriage in relationships and couples, that was the true meaning. So we went away from it. So now if we're going to go away from it, then we need to understand that we have to have respect for that relationship, and we have to sit down and talk about what are our rules in this relationship? What are our goals in this relationship? How do we communicate in this relationship? Are you okay with me? You know, and then we talk about, you know, some of the debates is having friends and stuff. You should have friends outside of the marriage. You know, you should have some girls you can kick it with, but do these girls you kick it with respect the marriage? And then you have to say, okay, if that's not the case, then we need to talk. And it's crazy that you asked this question, because I was watching Blackish the other day, yesterday, and it was an episode that she just had her baby and she was going through postpartum, and mother-in-law overstepped her boundaries in the marriage by taking her breast milk and replacing it with milk. And she was just going off on the mother, and her husband walked in and the mother-in-law said, "You gonna let her talk to me like that?" And you know what he did for the marriage? He said, "No, Mom, my wife is right. You need to leave the house." And he took her out of that marriage and said, "You've overstepped a boundary that is very dysfunctional to this marriage." And we don't do that. We let our brothers, our sisters, our cousins come in and ruin our whole relationship, instead of sitting down across the table from your partner and having these tough conversations. Because you have to have these conversations. If you lost your job, you should be sitting down. That's the first person you should be going home to and saying, "Hey, babe, we need to figure out how we're going to go through this. You know, I may have to get 2 part-time jobs." And these are the conversations you have, instead of talking to your friends and letting them be the voice of your relationship. And that's what we moved away from. Instead of, we have to, like you said, we have to have those conversations. Those conversations need to be had if you want to, you know, process through this world in a good mental and emotional state, and even having the intelligence of learning about your emotions in a marriage and your mental state in a marriage. You know, in any relationship, and basically, you know, you being open to having that constructive criticism, being open to saying, "Okay, you know, right now, I've seen husbands that, you know, come in and they do their daughter's hair, you know, after a long day of work, and they go to sit in when the spouse is down. I've seen where, you know, the husband go and sit with the teachers, and these are things that it's based on the family. What does the family need? Family needs me to step up right now. The family needs me. The marriage needs me to put in, you know, 24 hours of overtime for the marriage." And that's where we have moved away from. Like you made a lot of good points, and I am on the same page as you. It's like, what does the relationship, the family, the marriage, what does this unit need? And when we're not working as a unit, like I said, you know, one part of the whole, if that part is dysfunctional, you got to go and say, "Okay, we're going to go get some tools. We're going to fix this. And this unit is going to run so we can have have love, respect, and peace, and the things that we need to be healthy in this household. And we don't do that. We want, and I notice on a lot of social media, we love that negative stuff. We call that ants. We love ants in our life, automatic negative things. We love that.
Ooh. What's that? What's ants again?
Automatic negative thoughts.
I like that now. I like that.
I got that from Pastor Dean. Awesome. Shout out.
shout out to Pastor Dean. Now, to flip it a little bit, I want to know about, so what if you're in a situation, right? So now, sometimes there's times when mother-in-laws, they overstep.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, father. I mean, father-in-law, sometimes, I haven't heard so much about father-in-laws overstepping. Sometimes men just don't care. Like, men sometimes could be a little easy. Like, I've already raised my kids. Nah, I'm good.
Sometimes they go along with the mother-in-law to keep peace with their relationship.
So that's kind of what I want to ask. So flip it in reverse now. What if, right, you have a husband and a wife,
mm-hmm.
and then you have one part that's unruly. So you have one of the two, like the husband or the wife is wrong, right, mm-hmm. towards the parents or towards the in-laws or just towards, you know, that, right? How, when it comes to correction of a spouse, right, because sometimes, like I said, spouses ain't always right,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's the person you have to ride for because you're married to this person. But what if they are wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, you did talk to my mother crazy. Like, mm-hmm. you did that. No, that because that can happen,
mm-hmm.
right? The mother may not have overstepped. Mm-hmm. Maybe the wife is going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she just had a bad day. Whatever mm-hmm. that is, right? When is it a healthy thing to say, hey, listen, I know that you have to protect your wife or your person in public, especially, mm-hmm. but in private,
mm-hmm.
this stuff still needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be a free for all because we're married mm-hmm. and you can just, and I'm always just have to just take you and say, yes, you were right. Because no, you're not always right. You were wrong in that scenario. And like I said, part of that is having tough conversations to say, no, you need to go apologize to my mother. And if my mother was wrong, I need to tell her to apologize to you. But in this case, you was dead wrong about that. You know, but sometimes happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
People use that. I hate that term, but people mm-hmm. use it so much to where it's almost abusive. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not always right. Mm-hmm. I've had men tell me, don't matter if she's right or wrong, she's always right. So just tell mm-hmm. her that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pacifying that. Like, because that set me up to live a hard life. That's hard living, right? If you always wrong, like, mm-hmm. that's hard living. Like, so for me, I would say happy spouse, happy house, right? But at some point, it's like kids. You can't tell a kid they're always right because they're going to grow up to be monsters in terms of just mm-hmm. having their way. And that's not life. You don't always have it your way. It's not Burger King. You can't always have it your mm-hmm. way. You ain't always right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not. I'm not. So I know that the other person isn't. So there has to be a form of correction to where these tough conversations have to happen to where it's like, no, you were wrong about that, man.
And that's when you have the understanding of what the rules of communication is in your marriage. So a lot of times a couple will, and this is, you know, I'm sorry, using some therapeutic tech.
Please do.
We call that triangle. This is how a relationship should look. And when we are not talking, communicating, we triangle something else in. And that could be mother-in-law, that could be drinking, that could be friends. And instead of us, you know, sitting having this right here, we have a triangle of dysfunction. And a third person, it could be the kids, it could be the mother-in-law, it could be anything that takes us away from having a healthy conversation about what's going on in the marriage. And that's how I say, and the cycle I'm going to take you back is always going to come back to that structure of a family dynamic. And if you are building your structure on always putting people in your business, that's what a triangle is, putting people in your business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're building your structure on that, then that's the rules of your family. If we mm-hmm. don't talk about things, we bring Susie in because this gets our mind off of dealing with, we have communication issues in the relationship. And then guess what? We don't even know how to set boundaries to not even bring Susie in, because we are automatic, you know, overstepping boundary people, and we don't have established boundaries. So then, you know, when you go back to the structure of the relationship, you have to start making those rules and setting those boundaries. So you, when you have an issue with somebody saying, okay, the happy wife, happy life, no, you know that's the delusion. You know that there's going to be things that you and her don't, you and your spouse don't agree upon, you and your partner don't agree upon. You know that there's going to be, you know, it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to say, you know what, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. And when it's mediocre, it's mediocre. And we're going to talk about it. But, and today's society, you know, those hard conversations are just taboo. And we sweep it under the rug, and we put other things in our life that differentiate away from the having that conversation. So now we guess who's watching us, especially if we have kids. Our kids is watching us. So that's how we communicate. Okay, we got that. We tell lies, we don't tell the truth. And if this person's happy and I'm not happy, we are still good. And that's the rule of your family. So now you then pass it on to generation. So now when your kid gets into creating their family, that's part of their rules, because that's what you taught them. So it's going to always go back to that cycle of dysfunction. And how do we break that cycle? We break that cycle by setting new rules. We break that cycle by understanding boundaries. We break that cycle by educating ourselves about communication. And this is, you know, and like with the African-American community, this is new, because I took a class and I talked to a professor and I said, do you believe in historical trauma? And he was so happy that I brought that up, because we have learned things. If we look at some of our traditions and our things, it comes from, you know, the slavery days, where we, you know, we were taught that we had no voice. So why speak up? And so now, you know, and now we have to break that cycle. It is a must for us to break that cycle, because we have to, now we have a voice, and we can change a whole new generation of our whole family to understand that, yes, we talk about things. Yes, we don't let anyone in our family take advantage of us. Yes, we talk about finances. You know, we sit at the table and really educate ourselves about financial needs. So when we look, when as the questions you asked me, it starts with the foundation of that couple that is starting a whole new family and bringing new lives into this world. Because I always tell my parents, I say, you guys have to understand, our kids don't ask to be here. We make the selfish decision to sleep together and create and procreate and keep creating. So we have to understand that once we do that, we no longer are just responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for a new generation of people that are going to come into this world. And how are you going to, you know, walk through that journey with them? Is it going to be healthy or is it going to be unhealthy?
And I agree with that. You know, I think when it comes to kids, and I think a healthy conversation to have before you even have kids is, because, I mean, and to a point, because once you have the kids, sometimes you can't even fathom what that could do to your marriage, right? Depending on, God willing, they're healthy. But if they're not, that's something that you can't really plan for. But sometimes, you know, and I like to paint real pictures of things. Sometimes it may come off like, I don't like kids. I like kids. I have seven godchildren. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. Be clear. I'm very clear on what kids can do to a relationship if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. If you have problems before the relationship and you have kids on top of it, kids are going to expound on those problems, right? Kids are a blessing. Like, and I always have to preface that, because people get crazy. Oh, yes, I know. Kids are a blessing. They're cute. They're cuddly. Yes, all those things. they're a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. They are a responsibility, huge responsibility. Takes time, energy, money.
Mm-hmm.
These are the facts, right? And so what does your relation, your relationship look like with kids, right? What mm-hmm. things are you going to keep in your relationship to make your relationship work?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean your relationship, your marriage, your whatever you are, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, whatever it is. What is it that's going to keep your relationship on course? Mm-hmm. Right. What can you continue? Right. Is dating. What is important to you? Is dating important to you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that's going to sustain your marriage during the time that you have kids? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be as often as you used to do. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But certain aspects you have to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is sometimes the naiveness of what happens when we have kids,
mm-hmm.
right? And reality is there's something called postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
Men have to be educated on postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, women have to be educated on postpartum of mm-hmm. what the possibilities are, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that happen with women, their bodies, and could be lack of confidence, could be pain. It could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Men have to be educated on that,
mm-hmm.
right? But then also women have to be educated on, well, what happens to men,
mm-hmm.
right? The attention they used to get, mm-hmm. certain things, right? Certain things is vastly different, right? So how do you prepare for those things, right? The research, the knowledge is out there. Mm-hmm. So I always say, try to do research on all of those things. Have those deep diving conversations, because what I see is most people don't. Oh, we just want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go have kids. It's cute and cuddly. We got the baby shower. Baby's gonna be born, right? It's gonna be great. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, it's gonna be great. You know, right? And then the reality hits once the baby's here and the responsibility happens. And mm-hmm. hopefully you have a good pregnancy, and hopefully you have a good delivery, because mm-hmm. things happen in pregnancy that's unexpected mm-hmm. a lot of times. Serious things. And then it's just, we want things. And I think I swear I blame Disney. We want these things, right? We want the marriage. No, excuse me. We want the ring.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't want the responsibility of what that marriage entails. Right. We want these things. We want the party, the reception.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the marriage is something completely different. We want the kids. But do you know what that comes? What does that come with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What does that come with? And how is that affecting your marriage? And these are the conversations. We go back to the same topic of conversations
mm-hmm.
that we don't have. And we just do.
Yeah. And a lot of couples too, they would have to understand that they would benefit from premarital counseling, because mm-hmm. what happens is when you get into a stage, we talk about those things like, okay, what happens when, you know, you decide to have children and how the adjustment is going to come. It's because in understanding life stages, because that's what we do. When we do premarital, we talk about those life stages. We talk mm-hmm. about, you know, we talk about from the marriage, from the courting, because they don't use that word no more. And then we talk mm-hmm. about emptiness, and, you know, and because even like after half baby, you get be successful and your kids get ready to leave home, you get depressed then, because now guess what? You can't take, you don't have to take. And then even in the middle of that, you know, little Timmy learns how to drive now. You don't take little Timmy to baseball practice anymore. You don't, you know, and your role is shrinking when it comes to parent.
Yeah.
So and couples get depressed about that. Then they have to talk about it, and they'll come into counseling, and then we'll figure out that, oh, the reason why everybody's so angry, mad, depressed, or sad is because Timmy's going to get ready to move out or go to college or do these things. So it is a whole, you know, it is a whole idea of from start to finish when we talk about creating a family. And when you get premarital counseling, or you have those support units, or put something in your life that helps you through these stages of life, then that's when, you know, that's when those conversations begin get easier and they become more fluent and they become more, realization of, okay, this is what I'm going through. Okay, this is what we need to do. And it all starts with that couple, that parent, that mother, that father, because I say these because these are the roles that establish that are high up the hierarchy in the family. It starts with that unit, and that unit has to be solid on every aspect of what they're going to go through. And if they don't understand it, then be okay to say, you know what? We need help. We need to get out and talk. Go to parenting classes. And then let's look at it another way. How do we, if we decide to get a divorce, how do we get a divorce and not have it affect the kids and our friends and our family? How do we healthy co-parent? You know, there's so many stages when we talk about the family unit. You can dive into everything and it'll touch everything. It'll touch everything from taking the kids to school, having both parents on the same page when it comes to education, having both parents on the same page when it comes to the child continuing education, having, you know, it's a whole, when you peel that onion on family, it's a lot, because, you know, you're still, if you get a divorce, you're still going, you and your spouse or your partner are still going to be a part of each other's life, because that child is going to go out and have kids, and you guys are still going to be grandparents. So mm-hmm. How do we stop the madness and create a productive family generation that will reflect on, we did this, maybe we didn't do it together, but we did it in a way that our generation can survive, our legacy can survive.
Mm-hmm. All powerful points, and kind of want to touch on this divorce thing, right? So we know what divorce can do to a family, especially mm-hmm. when you have kids. Oh, we mm-hmm. know, right? And the ramifications of that could be devastating, right? So, and then, you know, when you're in a healthy relationship, married, and you're model for 43 years, and it's and if it's a healthy relationship, I mean, it could be a beautiful thing, right? It's the most amazing thing in the world, because certain things are being modeled in the right way for your kids, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to flip it, right? Now, just as if, you know, me being coming from a two-parent household, I was married 43 years before my dad passed, whatever the case was, it was a great model for me, right? Mm-hmm. What if it was flipped, mm-hmm. right? People stay together because of the kids, even though it's unhealthy, mm-hmm. right? Or because of their religious beliefs, whatever mm-hmm. it is, or both, mm-hmm. right? And now you have a dynamic of an unhealthy marriage mm-hmm. for 40-something years or 30 years or however long that these people stay together mm-hmm. of strife, stress, could be abuse, cheating, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That now that's what kids are seeing because mm-hmm. the parents chose to stay together. Mm-hmm. So what are the ramifications of that?
So the thing is that the ramifications of that is really creating, you know, those cycles that the children will only understand that's the rules of the family. And when you sit down and if couples, you know, were honest, and they take the emotional, because everything that you touch bases on is all emotions. It's not logic. And I always talk about the emotional part of therapy and the logic part. And if you sit down and you are talking to a therapist, and the therapist was to point out the emotional parts of this relationship and the logic parts of this relationship, and does it benefit the marriage, the family, the kid, the structure? And if everyone's in agreement, then what happens is they would have to make those decisions. Because we don't come in, if you come in as a couple and you guys are on the brink of divorce, we don't come in and promote divorces. We come mm-hmm. in and promote what is healthy for the family and the marriage. Right. And if you are in a relationship where there's abuse, where there's, you know, infidelity, there's things that is so dysfunctional that the marriage can't see past, then those are the decisions that you and the spouse have to make. Because we do straight out ask, are we working for a marriage or are we working for a divorce? Which of the two? And you know, one may say, I'm working to stay in this marriage, and the other may say, I had enough. Then we will explore that. And sometimes it comes to a point where the spouse have to get their own individual counseling so they can work on what is keeping them from having a productive relationship, because sometimes it's an individual thing. So the truth of the matter is, for your question, you have to be honest about exactly what is keeping this marriage together. And if it's just the kids, then that's not enough. And if it's just financial, then some partners take that role and say, you know, I've been a housewife for 40 years and I don't have skills and I don't have this and I don't have that. And sometimes I've seen I have worked with couples that came in with a housewife being housewife for not 40 years, but like a long time. And they decided to divorce and the wife decided to get back out in the working field and understand, you know, her new role now is a single mother, have to have financial backing. So, and that's why I say the structure of the family. And when you look at it, okay, now we're looking at it and we're examining it because we're taking, now you have a new structure. You're a single mother, you're co-parenting. These are your new roles. And then now you are understanding your new roles in your family. Now, if you decide to, you know, have a new family, then you are now, you know, remarry. And that's what it is. It's like really understanding the structure of that family and putting it and making it important to understand what your role is and what you bring to the table and how the family will function with all everything that you bring. And when we're not being honest about that, that's why you get that conversation of 50-50 and divorce and co-parenting, because we're not being honest to where what our roles is in a family.
Yeah. And that's what I was trying to get to in terms of just like the kids, right? Mm-hmm. What do the kids see when parents can't get it together, but they stay together because of these, whatever it is, their decisions? What ramifications do the kids feel, I think, by a family or a husband or wife staying together in an unhealthy relationship?
The kids see the same thing that the parents see. It's crazy. I've worked with kids that really were happy that their parents made a decision to get a divorce because they said it was like walking on eggshells. We didn't know, you know, how to talk to dad. We didn't know how to talk to mom. Mom is always crying. She's not happy. And parents don't think that their kids see this, and their kids do. I mean, like you guys are both nurturing to the child, and the child can feel that tension. The child can feel that they're not communicating. The child, you know, even if you think your child is in the room asleep and you guys say, well, we choose to argue at night behind closed doors, that child is going to he's going to wake up and go, you know, get a drink of milk or go to the bathroom, and he's going to hear one of those arguments.
Yeah.
And see these things. And now, you know, with social media, kids get on and they see their parents posting stuff. And that's a pet peeve to me too. It's like you're posting therapy stuff, and that need to be put on somebody's couch, because guess who? Your kid is gonna see all this, and your kid is gonna be like, Mom, why, or Dad, why did you know, why you just go into the room and talk that over with Mommy? Why you get on Facebook and now your 2,000 followers know all our business?
So true.
They see the same thing that each one of those partners or parents are going through, and they go through it. It's not just them, it's the kids. They go through it too.
100%. And I want to touch on quickly, like, men here for a second. I always say, and people are probably tired of me saying this, but I think men should get individual therapy way before they get married. I said, because normally for men, the first brush or the first episode of a therapy session is normally when it's either to be couples therapy, marital therapy, and their partner is telling them, I'm taking you to therapy to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like, well, at this point, if it's going to be you and the therapist versus mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. I'm not going to therapy because guess what? I can get that for free at home from you.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pay for that. Right. And so a lot of times their first brush or their first bout with therapy is it's brought to them as a punishment. It's brought to them like a whipping board. It's brought to them like, hey, we're going to fix you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like, see, if you understand therapy like I understand therapy, then you understand that that's not what therapy is about.
Mm-hmm.
But if your partner's bringing it to you and pretty much delivering it to you on a plate and saying, oh, yeah, this is how we're going to get to you,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to want to go. And if therapy is like that, where it's mm-hmm. therapist and river, then you're at the wrong therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know, like I know, therapist is like what you said earlier. It's not about the husband, not about the wife. It's about the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I always tell men,
mm-hmm.
get an individual therapist that you like and you trust. Mm-hmm. Learn what therapy is about for you. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get married, you have an understanding of what therapy is, what it really is, and mm-hmm. nobody can come to you and tell you that this is what therapy is going to be. It's going to mm-hmm. be, we're going to fix you. Because then you'll understand that that's not what therapy is, and they probably don't know what therapy really is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, you know, do you agree with that assessment or just no?
This is the you brought up a good stigma. That's another one that we have to address. We have a unique role as therapists, and especially as marriage and family therapists, because that's the thing that is put out there first is marriage. We are very neutral. We are, and in our studies, it tells us this, that people are so amazed that when you come into a MFT, we don't have sides. We don't play that. You know, a good therapist don't do that. A good therapist will look at the measures of what is going on in the relationship, and a good therapist will actually, you know, let both parties know, you know, the faults that are going on. Like, okay, you know, we're not coming in here to fix him. We're coming in here to fix the marriage and the relationship. And that's what, and then if, like, say if you come in and there has been a repeated assessments of the husband having issues with something that happened in his family of creation, then we as a therapist would say, you know what, it seems that you have to work on that, because that is kind of blocking you from having the tools that you need to function in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is a good idea that you do, you know, have individual sessions with a therapist. And we do that recommendations. And even if the wife come in and we see a pattern with her, we also say it maybe is good. But then you have to understand too, there's a good and a bad and ugly with that, because guess what? That you could go out, your spouse go and get that individual counseling and start getting that personal growth and start understanding, ooh, maybe this isn't, marriage isn't for me. And then they come back together, and then now one person does really want in the marriage. So it's a tricky, you know, way of you know, understanding what a person brings to the marriage. And getting individual help,
mm-hmm.
it could either strengthen the marriage, or it could say at the same time, maybe this marriage isn't something that that we should have at this time.
Well, I think what I meant was not getting individual therapy while they're in the marriage. What I meant was mm-hmm. I encourage men to get individual therapy before they even get married, before
mm-hmm. yeah,
before all that, right? Like, you could be a single man, mm-hmm. get you some therapy. Right? That's me. Like, if you're a single man,
yeah.
get therapy. Learn what it is. Like, learn what therapy is about and learn what it can do for you as an mm-hmm. individual. So by the time you get to that part of relationship, marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know what it looks like and you know what it should be versus you never had it and now it's being presented to you like they're going to fix you. And it's like, that's strays away, that pushes men away from therapy. Yeah. And, it could be a beautiful thing.
Therapy. Yeah, and I agree with that. And it's with anybody because everyone don't really understand the benefits of having and speaking with someone outside of their norm of field. And especially with men and men, you know, like you said, that at some time they are, you know, given, you know, what a therapist does. And then when you do get in a relationship, like, oh, the therapist is going to side with me because, but you are totally correct. If you feel that, you know, you feel that there is something that is missing there and you need to understand who you are as a person, because therapy is just not, you know, it's not about like old school where you know, therapy was meant when people were having, because, you know, our field as MFT started about trying to cure schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody's seeing. You have to be crazy. You have to be mentally, you know, psychologically, you have to be crazy. But now it's where you could have therapy. You don't have to even come in and have a diagnosis. You can come in and you can talk about, okay, I need help understanding my quality of life, understanding, you know, making sense of my fulfillment and my purpose, and having a therapist give you those ideas, how you're going to engage in activities to bring joy and meaning to your life. You know, it could be where, okay, I'm stuck emotionally. I don't know how to deal with losing my mother. So let's talk about that. That doesn't, yes, come with the diagnosis. How do how do you talk about loss and how do you deal with loss? You could say, oh my goodness, I'm finding myself, I'm not being, let's get to where you're talking about, my social life sucks, and is it me or is it them? You go to a therapist and let's talk about your social well-being. Let's talk about, you know, how you have healthy relationships from friends, families, in the community, coworkers. You know, we have a plethora of things that we discuss, and it just don't have to be, okay, you have a diagnosis. And see, we get away from that too. Okay, you have a diagnosis. I remember one of my clients said he went and he got on this ride coming out of COVID. And he said, I got on a boat and everybody was talking about how they had a therapist and they were happy and they were getting things out. And then he asked another client of mine that was on the boat and says, who do you see? And he said, this is who I see. And he said, I was so happy to get your number and come in here and just talk about things that have been, you know, ailing me as a man. And and when I do have my male clients come in, I thank them and I tell them, I know that this is hard to come in and leave everything here and unpack those luggages and the baggage and everything. And when they hear that coming from, you know, either some men, they want men counselors, some will like, okay, I'll go with what my insurance has. But when they hear that, that's just a reinforcer of them understanding, now I'm going to get educated about what therapy is instead of what someone told me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I completely agree with that. And so when it comes to, I'm going to pivot back to school. Okay. It's right. How important is it for kids that are in school, mm-hmm, to have someone like yourself present in schools?
It is important because when we have mental health in the school, when we have professionals that have that deal with mental health issues, we touch on bases about improving our school children's way of life, of understanding when they have these issues that come up, whether it's emotional, whether it's psychological, whether it's understanding functioning, understanding their quality of life, and having a platform outside of going to their parents to speak to someone, it like you said, it creates a sense of belonging and a sense of understanding who they are as a human being. And when we start creating that for our children, then they'll go to school and they'll take pride in wanting to sit in and participate in their academics and understand that I do have, you know, a village that is looking out for me for my understanding. And then also being able to, because I when I talk to my students, I get their permission. Is it okay for me to, you know, include your parent in on this? Because I feel that it's important that your parent understand where you're coming from and what you need. And they look at me like, oh my goodness, she really is going to validate me for who I am as a person to understand that maybe I don't want my parents to know about this right now. And we can, and usually you have a good relationship with your kids, they are going to say, yeah, let's bring parent in, I want them to know, and we need to get some help outside of here. But it's just like having them being able to have a voice and to speak and to have to be assertive in their needs. And this moves them, because I chose elementary because of this is where they're fresh, and then it prepares them to middle school. And then, you know, if they have the same, they do have the same services in middle school and high school. So it's important that they are seeing this structure throughout their whole school academic years, so they can understand that it is, you know, resources. And if they choose not to, you know, take advantage of what's there, then they can go in and be okay to say, hey, you know, do you have resources? They can advocate for themselves and say, do you have resources? And maybe I'll have my parents call and get us an appointment. So it takes you know, we listen to it takes a village, and that's what we have become, a part of a village that is trying to understand what our youth need and for them to be productive citizens. And that's and I tell my kids all the time, it's like, I'm getting old and I want to be a part of part of kids that listen to what I say. Even if I talk to thousands of kids and it's just one person that came out and said, you know what, and Ms. Johnson told me, and I have girls that come back and they tell me that, you know, you prepared me for middle school, because now I stay out of the drama. I'm not in all the stuff that goes on. I know how to relieve myself from unhealthy relationships. I know how to speak up for myself when I feel that it's wrong. I know how to recognize when somebody is bullying. It plays a good part when your profession has installed in young minds that they don't have to go to school and be feared. They don't have to go to school and not understanding that, you know, because they get good grades, they have to fit in with other people that don't get good grades, and their knowing of knowledge is kind of a curse to them. So it's like it is enjoying, and it's also, you know, a relief that, you know, we look at on the news, we can see all the negative stuff, and I talk to my students, and it's some positive students out there, and my dream is for Las Vegas community to really start getting involved in what's going on in the schools, and reaching out to their, you know, go in and talk to your teacher, go in and talk to your administration, go in and sit down and come and have a conversation with your mental health professional, your social worker, your school counselor, and say, what can I do to make this a better learning environment for my student?
I love that. And so I know that you gotta go. but you know, if there's one thing that you would want to leave to impart some wisdom or knowledge to the audience about mental health awareness or anything like that, I'll leave you the floor. to leave any words of encouragement, wisdom, or anything that you want to share to close us out.
Let's stay away from the stigma of mental health, because it, as we talked, it can be a benefit to everything that we involve in our lives. And let's start, you know, as human beings, we need to understand that we know what we see in social media, what we see in the world today. We know that it's not going to get it's not going to get any better. And let's just start having those honest, real conversations that would bring light to what we need to do as human beings, as far as when it comes to our school district, when it comes to the community, when it comes to our families, when it comes to ourselves. And the biggest thing that I always, you know, promote is that self-love. And you have to start with that first before you can move on to anything else. You have to acknowledge that you have to love who you are before you can extend that olive to anyone else.
Yeah. 100%. Very, very powerful. Indeed. And just one more time, give the people how they can book you, and how they can contact you to get to your services. I want people to reach out. If you are in the Las Vegas area, I definitely want you to tap into Miss Yolanda. She is a wealth of knowledge. She's a super talented mental health professional. And I want you guys to tap in and get the help that you need. So Miss Yolanda, please give them the information one more again.
Okay. My business is called Breaking the Cycle Health and Wellness Center. I am at 3465 West Craig Road, Suite D, North Las Vegas, Nevada. Also, if you call me at 702-850-7356, I will definitely give you a call back within 24 hours and give a brief description and talk about, you know, what ails you at that point and move on forward from there. So, you know, once again, the phone number is 702-850-7356, Breaking the Cycle Health and Wellness Center.
Absolutely. Again, thank you, Miss Yolanda, for coming on the show, dropping all the wisdom, knowledge, and I hope you guys got the understanding. And definitely appreciate you coming on the show. You are absolutely invited anytime. You know that you want to come back on. It's an open invitation. So yeah. I really appreciate you.
As I said, I have some projects coming back and I'm coming up, and I am definitely going to reach out to you because I really want to embark on community and getting everyone involved. And there's some things that I have coming up. We got a Mad Dads and we'll talk about that in the near future. So I want to just give a shout out to them because we are trying to bring a program from, I think it's Pennsylvania, over here. So
nice.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Shout out to them. Mad Dads. It is right. Shout out to Mad Dads. And yes. So this has been another episode of Conversation of the Heart. As always, it's your boy T-Till. We will have another special guest for you next week on Conversation of the Heart. Take care. Peace.